Hey, it's Sarah Popejoy of Musicians Empowered, and you're listening to the Jazz Spotlight with Jan Alanga.
Episode 71.
Welcome to the Jazz Spotlight, the podcast that gives you the insight and tools you need to be in the music industry today. Artists, authors, and top music industry experts give you actionable tips that will help you promote yourself the smart way. Here's your host, Jan Alanga.
Hey there, how are you today? Jan Alanga here with the 71st episode of the Jazz Spotlight podcast. Super pumped like every episode, but I want to tell you something about this one. Get your pen and paper ready or open your digital notebook because there is so much value in this episode. I'm sure you're gonna love it. Today we talk about the art of selling music online. If you're a musician, you probably have some music recording in some form. Maybe you have a digital version of an EP or your album, or maybe you're listening to me and you are working on an album. So you're thinking about the next step, what to do after your album is ready to go, how to market it, how to sell online, and all this kind of jazz. Well, guess what? If that's you, you're at the right place. Today we talk about the world of online, we talk about some of the secrets to selling music online, we mention some websites that you can use to sell your music, we will hear some music marketing tips for indie musicians who are on a low budget, we're also gonna talk about some hacks that you can use to get the attention of record labels, and much more. And my guest today is the founder of musiciansempowered.com and artist Sarah Popejoy. You can find the links to everything Sarah and I talk about in the show notes at thejazzpotluck.com/episode71. Here is The Art of Selling Music Online with Sarah Popejoy. Have fun. Hey everyone, I'm here with another incredible guest for the Jazz Spotlight podcast. And you know, what I love about social media is that you can really connect with people when there are those people that you really didn't know anything about. And when you connect online, like in the case of my guest and I, you know, it's something clicks and I checked what she does and I was like really amazed. And I was like, hey, I have to reach out to her and ask her if she wants to be here on the podcast. And my guest today is Sarah Popejoy of musiciansempowered.com, a website that it's all about providing value to musicians. She talks about selling music. She talks about the importance of taking care of your brand and much more. And she's here. I'm super excited to welcome you, Sarah. How's your day going?
Oh, great. Thanks so much, Jan, for having me on the show.
It's my pleasure. And I gave a very, very short description of musiciansempowered.com and what you do. But can you tell the listeners a little bit more about yourself and your website?
Yes. Well, I myself have been a musician for years, and I lived in Nashville for about 10 years. And I learned a lot about marketing and so forth along the way. But our focus now, because the industry has changed so much with Musicians Empowered, is we focus more on the online marketing and how to get your stuff across on, you know, through mediums such as social media and blogging and so forth.
Okay, I love it. And as I said, you really, you know, I really like because you talk about, like you said, for example, now you talk about social media, you talk about the business side of music. And like the topic of today, it's how to sell music. And I know that it's something that you've really written about. You also have written a book about music marketing. And so that's what I would like to start from. In your book, you talk about tips, low budget tips for music marketing, tips for, you know, musicians who are also on a low budget. So right. I think those are great tips because everyone who is listening to you and I right now can implement those tips right away. So can you tell the listeners a couple of those tips? And obviously, there's going to be the link to the ebook as well as to everything else you and I mentioned in the show notes. But as far for the music marketing tips, what do you have for us?
Well, a few tips. You know, a lot of times we as musicians, we know about how to, we think that sharing our link, our direct link to social media sites is the way to go, but we're not really developing relationships. And I think the big thing nowadays is to really, it's not, marketing isn't like it used to be, say, back in even the 80s. Marketing is more about having interaction with your consumer, with your fans, and actually developing those relationships. And so I found through my research, one of the best way that you can do that is through giving value to people that you're reaching out to. For instance, like in, you know, if you're asking for an email, then have something that you give away in return for that email. If you're sending people to a site that's full of information, there's just so many more ways to connect with your audience now. And so I think that that's one of the best tips, is that there's actually through things such as blogging, through building your brand and actually reaching out to people on social media. You know, one thing I've noticed that is recently on Twitter here is that a lot of musicians will just go ahead and, you know, write out, check out my music all day long. Mm-hmm. Or they'll say, you know, go to my concert, but there's no relationship built yet. So there's no reason for people to do that. But, you know, if you can get people in the conversation, maybe talking about other people, other artists, I think that's the best way to go about it.
Those are great tips. And, you know, the example of check out my music, buy my music, come to my gig, it's something that we have really talked about before in the podcast, because it's kind of one of the most common mistakes, like you said, on Twitter. But, you know, I think that maybe some of the listeners who are making that mistake are thinking, well, Sarah, but you kind of want me to talk about my competitors. You want me to promote their music, for example, their gigs. So what would you tell to those like skeptical guys?
Well, first of all, I mean, I would say look at your record collection. You don't have one CD, mm-hmm. You know, or one, you know, piece of music on your iTunes. You have a lot of music, and usually it's, you know, specific genres that people gravitate to. So if you're, you know, if you're not already getting the results that you want, you have nothing to lose, and really, you're just going to reach out to a bigger, broader fan base. I mean, it's something that's used in country music all the time, where, you know, they talk about each other's music, or even like, you know, the Ryman Auditorium, where they had the Grand Ole Opry. I don't know if you're familiar with it or not, but it's where a whole bunch of musicians would get together and perform. And they used all their different fan bases to get an even bigger fan base and get more awareness. So I think collaboration is just really the key. And not to get stuck, don't get stuck on, you know, being worried about, oh, they're going to steal my, you know, fan base, or I'm going to mm-hmm. give all the way to them, because it's really the wrong way of thinking.
Yeah. Sarah, I couldn't agree more. And guys, you know, if you're listening to Sarah and I, she talked about the importance of being all for collaboration. And if you want to get even more tips on musical collaboration, I want to suggest episode number 5, where we talked about musical collaboration with my colleague of Snarky Puppy, and also about music marketing. We're going to hear more from Sarah in a second. But if you want really to dive more into that topic, I recommend obviously her ebook, but also episode 56, where we talked about music marketing for the do-it-yourself musician, with Bobby Borg. All right, Sarah. So you really stress the importance of try to build a relationship with your fans. You talked about collaboration. Do you have another couple of tips for music marketing?
Yes, I do. I have a lot of tips. One thing is on YouTube marketing, and this too, I think, is something that musicians may not have quite a handle on how they can really utilize this to really take their marketing to the next level. Mm-hmm. And I had an article on Musicians Empowered where I listed four ways to do that. And one way is through obviously monetization, and most people know about that, where you tell YouTube that, yes, I want to monetize my video. And you know, of course, you have to have a lot of views to be able to make any money from that. But another way you can do that is by setting up your YouTube. And, you know, nowadays they have what's called, you can use Skype, or you could use Google. And they have a platform where you can put your, do a live recording. And from that recording, you can do it right from your computer. And you can basically put together a live show and put that live show on, say, either a blog or a website, and underneath it have ways for people to tip you and to sell albums. And also it's a great way to collect emails. Now, I've done this recently, not through my performances per se, but I did it through actually I would get about four artists together, and they would perform kind of around, you know, Robin type thing, where they would meet together and take turns playing their song. But what was great about the idea, and what, you know, I think your listeners could gain from this, is that, you know, by using the collaboration again and using different artists, they got different, you know, they were exposed to each other's fan base. Mm-hmm. And so it was really a lot of great exposure for everyone.
Great. I love the tip, and I like the fact that you talked about, you know, how to really leverage YouTube and Google Hangouts on air. And I've written a post about that. So guys, if you're looking for, you know, ways, creative ways to expand your fan base or grow your fan base, you should definitely check it out. Again, you'll find it in the show notes. And yeah, I think that, you know, it's important for musicians to really kind of embrace video, because we see how video is really growing. I know that you're also in the branding and, you know, marketing side of things. So I'm sure that you're really seeing how video is becoming more and more central, not only, you know, in other industries, but in music as well. And do you have maybe another music marketing tip before we move more to the selling music aspect of our conversation?
I think just the biggest tip that I have is that you want to, it's kind of twofold, is you want to be giving in the front. Mm-hmm. And so that, because otherwise you're going to come across as pushy. And then second, that you're going to, and that may be in the form of giving a song, giving a special video. It doesn't, you know, doesn't have to be a complete album or anything. It can be, you know, something small, but something that people would view valuable. Maybe it's a cover song. And then you want to, whatever you're giving away, you want to gain emails, because that's really, to me, the key to marketing, is being able to stay in touch with the people who are interested in what you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, a great tip. And guys, if you've been listening to the podcast before, you've really heard how much we've talked about, you know, the importance of building a newsletter. And now we just heard it again from Sarah. So Sarah, thank you for reminding us about the importance of really embracing email list. Okay, so the podcast is, you know, titled How to Sell Music, and I know that you've blogged about it, you've written different posts. And the first question maybe some of the listeners are wondering is, you know, about which sites or platform you maybe recommend for selling music. We know that there are quite many different options. I mean, if we think about it, you know, there is Amazon, there is CD Baby, there is iTunes, there are so many. And do you have any that you would recommend, you know, maybe, I don't know, three or something like that?
Well, I've done Amazon before and CD Baby as well. I'm not as familiar with TuneCore, but I know that they're really good. I think the thing that I like best about CD Baby is the fact that you send in your CD submission and they send it to, I don't know how many it is. At one time it was 40. I'm sure it's more than that now. You know, you automatically have your stuff on iTunes and a whole bunch of other ones, like Rhapsody and I forget what all. And so to me, they've always been fair. They've always been really good and, you know, paying and everything. And so I would recommend CD Baby just because of, I mean, I know my experience has always been really good with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, you know, what is good about CD Baby is like you told us, like they make it very easy to distribute your music to many online stores. And also they're really musicians friendly. And we heard about it and before with Kevin Brunner of CD Baby, who told us even more about the service. And another thing that I think is very good about CD Baby is that they're really, you know, moving forward. Or every now and then they have new features, new benefits for musicians. So I think that it's definitely a great recommendation. And I mean, obviously, guys, you know, Sarah and I, we talk now about CD Baby, but we know that anyways, selling from your website is something that you should absolutely do, right, Sarah?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Because you have... distribution is one thing, and you have to view it separately between distribution and your marketing and sales. Mm-hmm. Because just because you have the ability for everybody to buy it anywhere doesn't mean that everybody knows about it. So that's why, to me, I think that the most important thing you want to do is actually take control of your marketing. And so through your either website or blog, I recommend a blog. If you can get a website that has a blog on it, that's great too. The reason why I recommend that is because you can put out updates on your blog continually about what you're doing or, you know, where you're going, the venues you're going to, and you're giving value to your audience and you're creating an excuse to get in touch with your audience.
Yeah.
And so, and then not only that, but besides that, I like the fact that you can, in the middle of, you know, say you're talking about how you're getting ready to start this crowdfunding process, you could write an article about it and then have a link where people can go to check it out. You know, maybe not a hard sell in the beginning, but or anything, but just continue to update them with what you're doing. And so anyways, that's what and especially like to me, links are the key. Links capturing emails are the key to selling online.
And, you know, Sarah, I think that in your comment, you had a very good point because you talked about the, you know, if you guys have a blog that you keep updated, it's a kind of good excuse to get in touch with people. And that is something that I like because you really said maybe you don't want to kind of immediately sell something in the beginning. And I think that's it's very, very like relates also to what you said earlier about the importance of first give and then ask in a second moment. And I know that you've written a post where you talked about how to get strangers to buy your music. And do you have maybe a couple of tips on that? Because I think it relates very well with this last point on, you know, maybe obviously people that check your blog are maybe people who are already interested in you, but they're not necessarily ready to buy. But what about even further, you know, the people like you wrote in your post who are strangers who pretty much don't know anything about you? Maybe they only know your name. So what tips do you have for us, Sarah?
Well, with any relationship, the first thing that you want is to find some kind of common ground. And so my tip would, one tip would be to find a cover song that is within your genre, that people who would like that cover song would be maybe more likely to, would have a good chance of liking your stuff as well. And I'm in that article, I used a couple examples. And one is Alison Krauss. She was on the bluegrass scene for years and years and years. And then she came out with a, it was a cover song. And that was kind of her breakthrough for her career, you know, for more of the general public to know about her. The song was "You Say It Best When You Know Nothing at All." That was a cover song. And then also, Justin Bieber, which I hate using.
No worries. We forgive you, though.
There might be Bieber fans here, so I'm going to bite my tongue. But I do. It is a great example of how he burst onto the scene because of the fact that he burst onto the scene through a YouTube video that he was doing a Lady Gaga cover. So, and then also Social Proof in that video as well. I think he was in a gymnasium, like a high school gymnasium, and there were all these high school girls like swooning over him or something. And, but that example of Social Proof, before, you know, nobody knew who he was at the time. It put in the mind of people, oh, this is someone who's popular already, you know, I just hadn't heard of them yet. So, Social Proof, any way that you can show that people are already interested in your music. Another example is, and this is funny, but Billy Ray Cyrus. I remember when he first came out with Achy Breaky Heart, and part of the reason or the psychology or marketing behind why it got so big, they say, is because he had actually, his music video was him singing to a whole stadium of, well, not stadium, it was a big audience of people. And so, and it was, you know, girls going crazy and stuff. But and that's not my point, is girls going crazy. But the point is that it was showing already or putting in the mindset of people that, hey, he already has a lot of fans. So, and that's something the music business uses a lot.
Okay, I love it. So kind of to, for example, leverage cover songs to kind of try to build a bridge in the way, in a way between, you know, people who don't know maybe anything about you and with the artists that they're going to be interested in. So you gave us some examples, and then also the importance of social proof. So to, you know, showcase that you have people who already know who you are, who are, for example, attending your gigs, or if you're shooting a kind of a video clip that are featured in the video clip.
And there's a lot of many ways too that you can use social proof. You know, you don't have to, you know, because maybe if you're just starting out, you don't have all that. Because social proof can also be maybe just somebody saying, hey, I really love this person or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, maybe putting a few comments of people saying how they like your music. I remember that I ended up buying a Lucinda Williams album because there was a sticker on the cover that said, you know, one of my favorite, you know, singer-songwriters, and then it said Mary Chapin Carpenter. Well, I was a big Mary Chapin Carpenter fan, so I ended up buying the Lucinda Williams album.
Okay, well, yeah, actually, that is a great tip. And I think it's something that, you know, like you said, especially if you're starting out, you can do easily. Also, for example, let's say on social media, if you're on Twitter and you have shared a video of you singing or performing and someone has given a great comment, you can simply capture that with the print screen of your computer, and you can, for example, have it on your blog. Great tips, Sarah. Great tips. Do you have? Yeah, you're very welcome. It's actually me who should thank you.
Well, you know, and for the screen capture that you were talking about, they can go and get if they go to, I believe it's Jing. You can Google Jing, and it's a free screen capture for doing things like that.
Oh, okay. Great recommendation. I'll definitely check it out and include it in the show notes. Okay, you're really providing so much value, Sarah. I'm loving this. So you told us, you gave some tips on how to get strangers to get to know about us and to buy our music. And, you know, I'm sure that some of the listeners are like, Sarah, Jan, I want to get more tips on how to sell online. And I know that you've written a series of blog posts about the secrets to selling online. So do you have, can you share with us a couple of great tips for selling online?
Sure, sure. Well, the first thing before you get started is you're going to want to define who your target market is. And what that means is who are the people who are most likely to buy your album? And this is so important because if you don't know who it is you're selling to, then you really, then you're not going to be able to communicate them in the proper way. So and you can do that by possibly maybe when you start going to shows. I think actually a great way to do that is through Facebook Insights. I like going to Facebook Insights because sometimes I'm surprised at who my target audience is. And so that would be my recommendation is go there. And also that timing is everything. You don't want to start promoting an album after you've already released it. I mean, keep promoting it, of course, but the more in advance you can start promoting an album before it's released, the better off you're going to be, because even in the industry, I remember when I was living in Nashville, I remember from some of my friends who were working in the industry would tell me that the first week of the release of an album was kind of your like golden time. And so because it was the time when people would be most likely to buy your album, and it's when they would raise the most amount of awareness about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then also one big thing too is test out your marketing. If you're going to spend any money on advertising, don't just spend hundreds of dollars to begin with. Start out small. I know million-dollar marketers who even start out with $5, test trials before they ever, really spend a lot of money on their advertising. They start out small and then they get bigger with what works, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. You talked about Facebook Insights and we heard about that in episode 67 with Mike Rubini, and he was really talking about Facebook ads, and great that, it popped up again now with you, because it really, like you said, it really gives you a snapshot of your fan base, at least on Facebook, and you really get a kind of a real time picture. So, you see the most engaged people, the new fans. And then you talked about the importance of timing, so of building momentum, for example,
right,
for an album release. So like you said, not just to wait until the album is out, but to really get people excited about the launch itself or the release itself. And then obviously once the album is out. And great tip also for how to invest the money in marketing, to be really, to try out things, to test, because, something that has worked for someone you follow, for example, maybe won't work for you and other way around. Mm-hmm. So Sarah, again, thank you so much for providing us with so much value. You're really rocking this episode. I'm loving it. Do you have maybe another tip?
Well, and thank you so much, Jan, by the way.
Oh, you're welcome.
I am very grateful for being on here as well. I just, I would recommend creating urgency is a great way. Giving a time frame, and that's probably another reason why before the release of an album, creating urgency could be maybe it's before a show you're getting ready to have. Another way to create urgency may be through I remember Garth did this before. I can't even remember which CD it was for, but there was only going to be so many sold, and it just got everybody, crazy and going out to buy it. you know, maybe through how many tickets you have left. There's just so many ways to create urgency. And then also using calls to action. Now, like I said, you don't want to be, you know, in people's faces or anything with your selling online. But eventually you are going to want to give a call to action, which basically is just telling your reader what you want them to do next, or your audience what you want them to do next. The call to action, a soft sell might even be go to this link right here. When you go there, you'll get a free song, and then it'll be to an email list that eventually sends them to check out your music. But the point is to continually give calls to action, to go to different landing pages. Maybe it's crowdfunding, maybe it's your iTunes, but you just have to be careful that you're not too pushy in how you do that.
And Sarah, when you talked about creating the sense of urgency, one of the first things that popped up in my mind is contests or giveaways. What is your take on that? Do you think those could work well also for musicians?
It could, but I am not a huge fan of it depends on what the contest is.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes those can work well, but in my experience in marketing, free giveaways tend to work a little better than contests, only because people know that they're going to get something. But then on the other hand, I've had songwriting contests and, 80% of the people who went, signed their email in the list. So, contests can be a great way, but like I said, I would rather give away something.
Okay, great. I was just curious to, to hear your opinion on that. And you really told us a lot on how to sell music. What to think about. You gave out some marketing tips, also some kind of how to invest the money tips. You talked about how to kind of turn strangers into fans. And we've talked about the topic from a kind of indie or do-it-yourself perspective. But I know that you also have written a post where you talk about kind of hacks to get a label's attention. So I'm sure that some of the listeners are thinking, maybe I'd rather try to get in touch with a label and maybe, get signed by a label. So do you have a couple of those tips that you can share with us?
Oh, yes, of course. One of my tips is record labels are looking for someone who not just has talent, and that's just pretty much a given, but they're looking for someone who is going to sell music. Mm-hmm. And so they kind of want to know that you already have something going. So sold out shows, record sales, and airplay are one really great way to get their attention. Touring and creating a buzz is a great way. But also through branding yourself. Branding yourself, which I actually just put out an article on that today on musiciansempower.com, is actually really important because it makes you stand apart from everybody else, so that you're not just another Joe Schmo, not just another, whoever. When you create your brand, you create an identity that people relate with. So, it's not that you're getting all, you're selling out or anything like that. It's that you are making a statement of who you are and so that people with similar values and similar likes can identify with you. Record labels want to see also that your social media sites are taking off, and it's not about just buying likes or clicks. It's about being a social community that's actually engaged. So that's kind of proof that you got things going. And then also just that to know that you hold the key when it comes to getting a record label's attention, because I found this stat that 80 to 95% of artists who are released on a major label fail, which it, you know, I believe, in my opinion, I believe why they fail is not because they're not great artists or that they wouldn't even relate with people. It's because there's no marketing plan in place. So if you can already be thinking on that level, or, you know, and gathering people in your corner who think on that level, then that will just put you at an even, you'll be more attractive to sites, I mean, to labels. And then you'll also be more self-sustaining, you mm-hmm. know, whether you, where you don't even need the label. I remember hearing that when I was in Nashville, because I had a friend who used to work with doing the publicity for Garth and stuff, is that he had $1 million when he first got his label. He label deal with Columbia, that he had $1 million in marketing, not that of his own money, but that he had gotten investors to kind of go in so that the label agreed to spend $1 million and that he had investors as well. And so the point of this is that you need to bring your best marketing to the table to really get their attention.
Great tips. And, you know, you said so many great things today, and also this last point on how to get the attention of a record label. You talked about the importance of anyways first thinking about yourself. So think about building a solid brand, think about building an engaged fan base. And, you know, guys, to talk about engagement, I have to mention episode 62, where we talked the whole episode about fan engagement. So if you, whether you're starting out or you already have a fan base or you want to grow your fan base, you should definitely check that out. And you also talked about the, you know, you mentioned again the last example of having $1 million dollars in marketing, but somehow not being completely supported. Like, really, Sarah, I think this episode, I'm sure that have really made us think not only on the sell music aspect of it, even though that was that kind of the title of the episode, but really on the more on the business side of music. And Sarah, really, I want to, first of all, thank you again for being here. And before we say goodbye to each other, I want to ask you, if you were to give one final tip to the listeners, what would that be?
To be proactive in marketing your music and realize that you have the control to do a lot.
Awesome. And you know what? I'll throw it in there also that if you want to learn even more on the business side of your music career, to go to musiciansempowered.com. And I know, Sarah, that you have a book, and I wanted to ask if you could tell us a couple of things about the book, but because I'm sure that it's going to be really useful for all the people who have listened to you and I today.
Oh, thanks, Sean. It's called High Level Music Marketing. And I'm actually, it's free to all the listeners here today at ebook.rockstarmarketing.biz. And I'm sure it'll be in the liner notes as well.
Yeah. Actually, sorry, Sarah, to interrupt you. And actually, to make it even easier for you guys to remember, just go to thejetspotlight.com/empowered, and you will be redirected to the link that Sarah just mentioned. So you will find the free ebook there and you can get a copy. Sorry, Sarah, go ahead. You were saying.
Oh, no, thanks so much. A few things we talk about is that I've gone over is ways to make money on YouTube, but it's a little more in depth in the book. Strategies for dominating digital music marketing and building a marketing plan as well. Also talk about some more strategies and tips in the book as well. But then you also get, I send out emails on just kind of what's going on in the industry and tips like we talked about today that you can learn to really grow and get your music out there. And because our goal is to empower musicians so that they can do what they love.
Sounds like a plan. So guys, again, go to thejazzspotlight.com/empowered to get the new book of Sarah Popejoy. And make sure to connect with her on Twitter. She's at Radio Cafe. So say hi, ask her more questions, because I'm sure she's going to be more than happy to answer and connect with you. Sarah, thank you so much for being here on the Jazz Spotlight podcast and telling us more about, first, about all the incredible things you do at musiciansempower.com and for all your valuable tips on the music and the business side of music and how to sell music.
Jan, thank you so much for having me on your program. It's really been a pleasure.
All righty, everybody, we are back. Sarah, thank you so much for being with us today, for your contribution to the podcast, for your tips, and for the great resources you have made available to all of us. I really appreciate it, and I'm sure the whole Jazz Spotlight community appreciates it. And guys, as I said, you find the links to everything Sarah and I have talked about, including the ebook we mentioned during our conversation, at thejazzspotlight.com/episode71. And please go to that page, download the material, and if you have some comments on what Sarah and I have talked about, or you have some more tips for the other members of the Jazz Spotlight community, feel free to leave a comment there. And actually, please do, if you have anything to say, feel free to leave a comment there. I'll be there reading, Sarah will be there reading, and all the Jazz Spotlight community will be there reading. So let's get the conversation started and let's keep it going. All right, guys, today's Tuesday, so two more days until the new episode of the podcast is out. On Thursday, we're going to talk about you. We're going to talk about what it means to be a musician in 2015 and why you should think not only as an artist, but also as an entrepreneur. So why you should be thinking more like a musicpreneur. We're going to talk about success, what actually success is and how you can achieve that, and much, much more. Jani Lunga here from thejazzspotlight.com. I want to thank you so much for being with me and Sarah in this episode, and I'll get back to you on Thursday. Take care.